As I was thinking about this week, about these texts, kind of thing I do every week, if I was going to follow pattern, my usual pattern, and title this sermon in the form of a question, it might have been called, Does God Still Call? But jumping off the language of some of my journalist friends, I didn't want to bury the lead. Because still calling is what we're thinking about today. It's not so much a question anymore, at least I don't think it's a question. I'm not treating it as a question. God does still call and is still calling. We know people, or we at least know of people who have been called. The disciples were called. Jesus found Philip and said, "Follow me." Philip found Nathanael and said, "Hey, we found the Messiah. He's from the son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael says, "What? That's not possible. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. It's a dump. It's so far on the wrong side of the tracks, you can't see the tracks from there." Philip says, No, come and see." And when Nathanael and Jesus interact, Nathanael realizes that there is more to than this, and then he is called. Paul was called, knocked off his horse, interacted with the living Christ who he had persecuted. Many missionaries that we know were called. At least we read about their stories where they get this deep desire to go to another place and serve. Perhaps you were called. I was called. Imagine that. Samuel was called, even if his spiritual superiors were deaf to that same call. All of these things have something in common. And now some of these folks were called to big dramatic things. Samuel was called to be the conscience of the nation of Israel. That's about as big as it gets. The disciples were called to take the message from the mouth of Jesus to the rest of the world. Once again, about as big as it gets. Paul was in that same thing. I wasn't called to something huge. I thought I was, but I wasn't. In my case, the call that I heard from God was to become a missionary to some place where it was really hard, probably a Muslim country or something like that. And I realized that that was a call, but that call was given to me to get me moving in the right direction. Because what I was actually called to do was, for quite a while, be an academic administrator and a teacher. Not quite as dramatic, is it? Not quite as huge, not quite as important, perhaps. At least it doesn't really feel that way, does it? But isn't it? What is important? What is a huger call than being called into a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit? What is bigger than that? And we sometimes lose sight of the fact that God calls. We know it at one part of our mind, because if we've ever attended a baptism, what we see there is in part of the vows of baptism and the discussion around baptism is that God has reached out to this baby when the baby is still a baby. Because if God doesn't reach out first, we can't respond. And we can't reach out to God without God enabling us to respond by calling to us. It's a circle that only God can get going. And God is still calling now. I don't know if God is calling any of us to something huge and dramatic. Possibly. When I look across the little rectangles, or when I look across the people sitting in the church when we're meeting together, I see an enormous quantity and quality of skills and gifts and talents and experience, and I see people who could do almost anything, I think. Does that mean that that's the only call we should listen to? No. We think of Samuel. And when Samuel was being called and not understanding what was going on, Eli, who may have had some difficulties in his relationship with God, who had reached a point where he wasn't listening as carefully or as clearly as he had in the past, however you want to look at that. What Samuel said was all, or what Eli said to Samuel is, "What you need to do is say, 'Speak, Lord, because I'm listening.' Not Tell me what big dramatic thing I need to do. But speak, because now I'm listening. Because God, when God calls, and God is still calling now, God doesn't call, at least not very often, with a huge shout. God doesn't very often yell at us to get our attention. God often speaks in a small enough voice that Samuel, with the incredibly sharp ears of the young, couldn't tell if it was Eli or not. God's call is often very soft. It's very quiet, not because God's afraid of us or that we need to be afraid of God, but because God is calling people who are ready to listen. And let's not lose sight of the fact that God enables us to listen as well. It doesn't mean that we have no part in this, because of course we have a part. We have an enormous part in this. Our response is of ultimate significance. But it's God who waits for us and often creates the environment where we can hear that call best. And that's what God did for me. When I heard a call to be a missionary, it's because I wouldn't have heard a call. And I've talked about this before, I'm sure. I wouldn't have heard a call to be a teacher and an administrator, because that was too easy. That was too much what I wanted to do. Let's be honest. I was a little afraid of God that way. So God called me in a way that I could hear best. Not because that was the beginning and the end of God's call upon me. Nothing of the sort. Because that got my attention, and that took me from going to a Bible college for a year to see what it was like and then going off somewhere else into a process that had me ending up as an academic administrator and a teacher. A lovely position, one I enjoyed to the utmost for as long as I had it. And because of that, I began to understand that God's call isn't only to big things, but to things that can become big, whether we know it or not. I have no idea what effect I had on my students. Some, I'm sure, there are some who have let me know that some of the things I said to them were really helpful, but I had hundreds of students. I don't know where they all are now, and I don't know what they're doing, and I don't know if I had that significant effect on them at all. But I might have. And because I was willing to move into that in through a series of calls that a gracious God crafted to who I was at that moment to get me moving forward, well, that's how I ended up here. There was a time, and I'm a little ashamed to admit it, I think, in some ways, but there was a time when the notion of preaching to a small congregation would have been not pointless. I don't know what language I would have used, but it would have been pejorative and it would have been dismissive. Because I was in an environment that said, the only real measure of church success is that you have more people this Sunday than you had last Sunday, or this year than you had last year. That numerical growth was the only real measure of success in ministry. And that's simply not true. How I measure success in ministry is, am I faithful to the call I've received? And I have been called to this congregation, to you people, and I couldn't be happier. I'm called to use whatever creativity I have to open up scripture to you in a way that hopefully helps you see it in a slightly new way, or maybe even a completely new way. I'm called to use the experience and the work things that I've done to be able to set up a service like this. So on a day when it's lethally cold in Saskatchewan, and if anything goes wrong when you're outside, it could be really awful, for us to meet by Zoom, because I have that experience. This is not difficult for me. This isn't a challenge. I didn't lie awake all night wondering if it would work. God took those parts of my secular, for lack of a better word, experience and has put them into this service and into services like these. So part of my call was to a job that was mostly pretty good, parts that I didn't like. But it helped equip me for what I'm doing this very moment. God's call to me and to you is always about a deepening relationship with God that then moves out into the world around us and helps us be better people to the people we're around. The nice thing is, it's not always that hard. Hadley and I are watching a lengthy television show coming out of Australia called The Block, where people get together and they build things and they have contests. And it's complicated to explain, so I won't bother. But some of the people on there somehow forget that the best way to get people on your side is to treat them well, whether they can do anything for you or not. Because if you treat people well, then those who can do something for you are more inclined to do so. Does that mean that we are kind to the people around us just so we can get things? Well, no. But that's one of the ways that we see God leading us, and we see the affirmation that what we're doing is the right thing by being the best version of ourselves to all the people we encounter. God is still calling. God is still calling me. And God is still calling you. And because we can step away from this idea that the only call that God has is the call of Paul or the call of Nathaniel, but I'm called to be a better person today than I was yesterday. I'm called to be a kinder person than I was yesterday, today. I'm called to be the best version of myself today that I can be. Because that's what God calls us to, is to become more and more ourselves. Because ourselves is our best selves. When we are being our best self, we are most ourself. And that's what we're being called to. And that call never stops. That call keeps going on. And maybe some of you were gifted with one of those profound calls, and that's great. There's nothing out of the ordinary, nothing ridiculous, nothing really surprising about that. We're just grateful for that. And so whatever your call is today, know that you have one. And if you are willing to listen for that sometimes very quiet voice of God, you'll be able to hear it. And it won't probably be a call for you to go out and change all of the world, but it'll be a call to change yours. And when you change your world, those people you interact with, you'll change theirs as well. Because God is still calling people to make a difference by who they are, where they are. And that includes us. Amen.